Pretty cool. Hey, everyone. Whoa, man. Woo. Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas. Wow, clearly kind of coming off the EDM high from last weekend, man. It was epic. But, oh, yeah, well, I was banned. A couple reasons, they told me. One, I'm not in my 20s. And two, I'm not a complete idiot. Turn this crap off. All right. Not really sure what we're going to do today. I think it's the contact high from the EDM kids. But I do know that we're going to have real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast where that's a pretty cool wall, isn't it? And if the Pentagon wants a way to torture people, play this crap.
What's EDM?
Let's get started.
Electric Daisy Carnival.
Yeah, M, not C. Or C, not M.
Damn it.
You were high when you did that.
I was in Las Vegas. It was a contact high. You see that big cloud of smoke?
I did.
People were fucking stoned out there, man.
Nice job.
So I made one mistake on a ladder. Yeah. I'm killing it here, though.
I love that FBI
boys
concert.
And girls, welcome.
Yo, talk to Las Vegas, Nevada.
That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Look, I made that up this afternoon about an hour before I shot it. Cut me some slack.
And now your host.
Yes?
A man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Yes.
Mr. Scott Whitney.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. I am your humble host, Scott Whitney. Not a button pushed wrong. Sure, it's EDC, not EDM. But that's a rounding error. I just wanted to kind of look.
Yes,
look,
MC,
I'm under an unbelievable amount of pressure. It's stunning the amount of pressure I'm under, and I just, you know, I'm doing the best I can. Anyways, thankfully,
not really,
but thankfully, I'm not alone. No, there's the unicorn move again, which made a lot of people laugh last week. No, I'm not by myself. I'm with Drinky Pants. I'm with RQS. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Brett Grant, everybody.
How are you, folks? I have to remember now, as I relearn my alphabet, A-D-M-D. Yeah, I think that's pretty much the way it goes.
It was a very good show.
You know,
it was, how long is the show? Well, it's been two minutes. Yeah. I think we're about wrapped up.
Are we good?
Yeah.
How are you, Scotty? Good to see you.
Good night, everybody. It's been a good show.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's a pretty good song right there. I don't know where it's from. Anyways, hey, today's over.
That's called Gin and Tonic.
It's Gin and Tonic.
There you go.
Oh, look at that, you knowing stuff.
It's because it's the only one you ever play.
Well, that's true, too. Well, I'll be honest. It's my favorite song on the album, and so I play it.
You being a musician.
Or a magician.
A musician. So let's say you're whatever. You're Roger Daltrey, you're Robert Plant, you're whoever. You ever get sick of singing your favorite song, the favorite song of the audience, even though it might not be your favorite song?
I believe it. They do get sick.
You think
sick
Springsteen ever gets sick of singing Born to Run?
You know, oh, well, I hope so, because that guy sucks.
Well, I'm just saying, but obviously people love him.
Yeah.
So if you're a Springsteen fan and go to one of his 8-hour concerts and you don't hear Born to Run, you're going to be upset.
Yeah, look, here's how I feel about that. The people you should talk to about that is Kiss.
All right.
And the reason is because when you talk to Kiss, they say, look, it doesn't matter if we're sick of it or not. We're playing Love Gun. We're playing Dr. Love. We're playing all those songs. And they hate Beth, by the way.
They do.
But they're playing
because
Beth.
Chris is gone, right?
Well, because they hated that guy anyways.
Okay.
But we're playing them all. Why?
I did like a hard rock woman.
Yeah,
I did that. It's one of my favorite songs they do.
And what's funny about those guys is, I mean, you can watch their concert in 1979, which I did. I delayed going in the Air Force to see a Kiss concert at the Fabulous Forum. That was in 79. I think I saw them about 20 years later. Same concert. Same exact concert. Ah, you guys like old gin? Oh, yeah, I sure do. Fired up, Paul.
Let's go.
Yeah. So anyways.
All right, fair enough.
But do they, people get sick of it? Hell yeah, they get sick of it. Of course they do.
That's why they take long breaks.
Oh yeah, they do. But I'll tell you what, here's what makes that go away. Money.
Sure.
And adulation.
Well, when it's you know, it'd be suddenly like a Corvette completely radically changing their design, which made them so cool, and that's why people love Corvettes.
Well, it's like Coke.
You got to stick to what, you know, like Mustang did that, right?
Right.
They came out with Mustang 2, and we all puked.
Right. Right.
Mustang 2, boredom zero. Have no sales were zero, is what the slogan was. Go back to the original Mustang.
Right, right. New Coke did the same thing. Try New Coke.
Right.
Well, I know what that is. That's old Pepsi, and we already like Pepsi.
Right.
So what are you doing? Yeah. So, but you know what? My guess is, I mean, I've never been in a place where I've had to play the same song over and over again.
Right.
Like when I was doing gigs, you know, people would hear my music and say, hey, can you play Gin and Tonic, or can you play Mexican Dish or whatever? I'm like, absolutely, I can play that stuff. That's my own song, as opposed to playing one of a thousand other songs.
Sure.
Like, no, you're damn right I'll play that stuff. So that's easy. But, you know, other than that, you're cool. All right, over and under 75 and a half, not a second over. You're watching us, right, our time?
Yeah, I have to put my glasses on, though.
Okay. Because you know, we're very, very busy, very, very, very busy people. Okay. So let's get started on this thing. Here's the deal. We're going to start with EDM. I kind of talked about it before.
EDC.
Or EDC, whatever.
Good
the hell.
God.
EDM,
man.
DDC. What? Does it really matter?
Is there a doctor in the house?
Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say lobotomy. EDM? I'm talking about the whole music scene, not just this one place.
All right.
Okay. Yes, I'm actually talking about the one place. Here's my question to you,
right,
Brett. Now, I realize that you've been in Vegas for, what, 30, 40 years, which makes you, what, about 80, 90?
Yeah, it makes me also a native.
Right. And when you were a youngster, let's say in your 20s.
Right.
Did you drink back then?
Sure.
Did you do any kind of drugs?
Not really.
Okay. So you drank, and did you ever drink to excess back then?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so you have gotten
drunk. That was our goal in life back then.
That's exactly right. And I, too, have done the same thing. I have drank to success, actually.
Yes.
So we're reading an article here, and somebody, so I'm watching this. So, okay, it pisses me off so much that this happens that I just can't even stand it. All right, so article in the paper about the Electric Daisy Carnival. Apparently, it's not Marnival with an M, apparently. Who knows? So, on just one day, now there's about 100 and some odd thousand people there per day, all right? So, on one day, they had 408 medical calls, 408. And then one person died. And so, they talked about, you know, what was it these people were ingesting? And the combination of crap these people were taking was unbelievable. The reason why I asked you about, you know, did you drink when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
I did. I was in Southern California. Of course we drank. But did I drink and then do heroin and then do, I don't know, mushrooms? No. So, you know, these people are doing ecstasy.
Right.
They're doing meth. I mean, no.
Yeah.
Some meth. They're drinking, obviously.
Cocaine.
And then doing coke.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. One of those makes you happy and quiet, alcohol, marijuana does. Cocaine, the opposite effect. I don't even know what ecstasy does to you. Well, I have a general idea, but not from personal experience, just so you know. But here's what I don't understand. When we were young, we knew, okay, I'm not going to do a depressant and a make me wake up kind of thing, whatever those things are called. I'm not doing them both.
Right.
Because who knows what that's going to do to your heart. By the way, when I was at that age, that was when we talked about this before, Len Bias died.
Right.
And I'm like, holy Christ, cocaine is the devil. I can't even look at it. It scares the hell out of me. But these guys are combining the craziest things together at this place. And you know, I get it. You're watching somebody push play, and there's a lot of very pretty lights there. But why do you need the combo is what I don't understand. It's so weird to me.
Well, I mean, it's not the first tragedy, unfortunately. I mean, you know, guys died last year, the year before, 2012. And they obviously, you know, when you're a college kid, okay, when we were younger, for spring break, people went crazy at spring break, right?
Sure, right.
And people would die of alcohol overdose, or they get sick and they would die of their own vomit and things like that. And it's horrible. I mean, first of all, you got an event that probably has 50,000 too many people there.
Mm.
So, you know, maybe you control it better by limiting the ticket sales.
There it is. It was alcohol, ecstasy, and cocaine.
Yeah, that
was
it.
Jeez Louise, man.
So, obviously the Speedway can handle that. I know somebody that drove to Utah this weekend. It took them 2 hours.
Really?
2 hours to go from one side of the entrance to Las Vegas Speedway exit to the other side of the Las Vegas Speedway exit, 2 hours to go, really? About 3 miles.
Really?
Because of all the people going up there.
Yeah.
I also have an acquaintance of mine that I know from business who actually took a helicopter up there. Oh. And they flew on in, like Maverick helicopter flights, yeah. flew them on in to EDC and no traffic to mess around with and fly them back home. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if you don't, yeah, I guess it's no different than Woodstock. I mean, people have been going to crazy music festivals forever.
I think the difference
and
is
doing
this.
Stupid stuff.
Well, no, I think the difference is this, and this is my point. So like when
Montrose, whatever.
Yeah, well, but when so when we were go to when we'd go to concerts or go to, you know, we would drink,
right?
Or we'd smoke pot,
right?
We would do one or the other.
No, you didn't do both?
No,
no,
never. Because there was no point. There's a different high.
Right, right.
It's a different effect to you. So what does marijuana do? It mellows you out. Makes you kind of goofy sometimes. All right, right. Well, what does alcohol do? Well, it kind of mellows you out. Makes you kind of goofy sometimes. Does the same thing. So right. Why would I do both when I can't know what the combo does? And especially
right, right.
back then with marijuana, you don't know what you're getting from, you know, from joint to joint, basically. So you don't know if this one's going to be, you know, laced with angel dust, which happened to me,
sure,
or just, you know, some crap stuff. So it's just a complete risk. I don't understand the idea of doing cocaine, which is a, you know, a major stimulant, and then doing ecstasy or alcohol at the same time. What the hell is
well,
going on there?
They're kids. And what do kids have in common? God, they're stupid.
Well, I know. I was stupid too.
Right.
But I wasn't stupid. I wasn't stupid.
If you go back and, you know, hindsight being 2020, you look at all the stupid stuff that you did in your youth.
Hundreds of
you're lucky
stupid
to be
things.
Here, right?
Well, I wouldn't say
pretty
that.
Pretty close.
No, I wasn't.
You get behind the wheel of the car when you shouldn't. Well, you take something from a stranger. You're not sure exactly where it came from. You're in strange places, sleeping with strange people. You're doing goofy stuff, right?
Not really.
No, you were too.
I was
you're
pretty,
in the Air Force.
I was a pretty good kid.
You're so full of crap.
I was a good kid. I remember in the Air Force. I wonder if the time limit has expired on this. Let's say it has. I remember in the Air Force.
You were
Force.
In the Coast Guard. Yeah, okay.
I was
right.
in the Air Force Coast Guard. You can just bite me now. Fuck me.
No, I was just changing the subject. So like, it was so you were in the Marines.
I'm in Navy.
Exactly.
I was over in San Diego.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we like you Air Force guys. We need a ride.
I remember. So we got high once, me and a buddy of mine, and we went and saw, you remember the movie Brubaker?
Sure.
Okay. Robert is that a Redford. Comedy?
No.
Wow. We thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen.
No.
Man, we were in hysterics.
You're talking about the jailhouse thing
with
Robert Redford.
And
no,
there's
no,
a part where there's like a piece of glass in his hand or something, and he pulls it out, and we just thought that was nuts.
Right.
So it was like not many people. This is in Biloxi, Mississippi, which in fact is the armpit of all of the world. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the world,
it's
the
US, right there.
That's right about the fucking armpit.
Yeah.
So we're looking, we've got popcorn, you know, because we've got the munchies, we've got a little thing this big, and we're eating. He does that, and we're like, these people around us are like, what the hell are you guys doing? Well, we're high. So maybe that's part of it as well. So, you know, I feel bad for this stuff. But, you know, the other thing is, these guys who are running this show, Insomniac, I think that's the name of the company or something like that, they're going to be on the hook for this stuff if this stuff keeps
sure.
up. And they're actually doing a lot of work to prevent this. I mean, they're doing advertising, and they're basically saying to people, you know, not to do it. What was it? Oh, SLS, which we're going to talk about in a second. They had a big a concert there, and they basically had big signs that said, you're not bringing anything in. No drugs, no nothing.
Right.
And they went through every single thing that you had in your purse, for example. Like, wow. They're opening up makeup.
As you're checking into the
hotel? It was a pool party, a concert. And they went through every single item.
Wow.
Like, psh, nope, okay, that's fine. Psh. It was pretty intense, actually.
Yeah.
But my guess is nobody was high at that show when they finally got in and they bought, you know, $500 beers or whatever. Crazy. All right, I'm gonna do a very exciting thing this Friday night at midnight.
Okay.
Super excited. One of the cool things about, you know, being around Vegas is that you've got a lot of talented people on the strip. But what's really cool for me is when these guys kind of step out of their normal gig and try to launch something on their own. And I've seen this happen a few times, and some with success and some, you know, not so good. As everybody knows, my favorite show here is Absinthe. And there's a gal there named Melody Sweet who plays the Green Fairy. She's the gal who, you know, runs around on the wall. Have you seen Absinthe?
No.
Oh, you got to go see it. She, you know, dances, and she has a very Billie Holiday vocal styling. You know, really cute girl, sings a lot. She's, you know, in pasties and she's very cute and all that good stuff. Anyway, she's doing a thing called boink, the Big Top Circus Burlesque Show this Friday night at midnight. And it's at the same location as Absinthe. And many of the people who are in Absinthe are doing this show. So it's kind of like adult. More adult. And I'm a fan of more adult.
Sure.
And here's something that's very cool. So you see this picture here. This is their advertising thing. Now, if you zoom in on this, that's her on top of the lion.
I would figure.
By the way, if you're listening to the audio now, that's fun. Yeah, that's her on top of the lion.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. That outfit she's wearing,
yeah,
completely painted on.
Painted on. Yeah, I could
every
tell.
Bit of that. Could you tell?
Now that you're mentioning it, I was going to suggest that might be just because the, you know, the area that you tend to look at first.
Oh, what are you talking about? Her eyes?
Yeah, right below that. Her left cheekbone.
Yeah, so Big Top's Burlesque featuring Absinthe folks, the Flying Walendas. Ever heard of them?
Sure.
Wire Walkers, Miss Exotic World, Dirty Martini. Oh, really? Some comedians, folks.
Is the Big Walenda there?
The one that fell off the wire?
No, the one that walked across the Grand Canyon.
I don't think so. I think it's the kids, as I recall. Anyways, it's this Friday night. I think it's going to be a hoot. I can't wait to go see this. This is one of the few things where this is the kind of stuff that makes me giddy to be in Las Vegas.
Cool.
So go. If you're thinking, hey,
what's the cost of that event?
$25.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. It all goes to charity.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, $25, and it goes to, all proceeds go to the UNLV College of Fine Arts.
Oh.
And if you're a UNLV student, it's only $15. So it's they're really trying to do nice
very
things
nice,
as well.
Very
plus,
nice.
It's going to be kind of hot. So
good
that makes
idea.
Me giddy. All right, yeah. Next up, Brett's luggage.
My luggage, you know.
Is not here.
No, it did show up yesterday.
Oh, damn it.
Eventually. Well, it's kind of weird because I've flown quite a bit, right? And you make sure you tip the bellman, the curbside guy,
yep,
when they're checking you in. So the funny thing was, on the way to, we flew to Chicago for my brother-in-law was getting married, and we were all involved in the wedding. So we took off on Wednesday, and what I normally do if I'm flying with my family is I'll drop them all off at curbside, let them check in the bags, and I'll go park the car, and I'll just meet them at the gate. So that way we don't lug all that luggage all over from, long-term parking.
I've never done that.
It's a lot easier to do.
Huh.
It really is. Just say, Sonny, I'll see you later. Now it was a lot more challenging if the kids were five.
You drop them off.
Drop them all off at the curb.
With the luggage.
With the luggage. They check it all in, and I go park the car.
So that's
And I meet them at the gate. And ironically, and truthfully, we get there pretty much at the same time. By the time they check the luggage and get through security,
okay,
I come through a different part of the airport, and I got to go through security, get my boarding pass, and off I go. Huh. So we had like seven bags to check. There's five of us, and we've got bags.
Right.
And my wife and daughter are still actually, traveling. They're on a walkabout right now of the country, although they're driving about.
The whole country? By themselves?
I don't know where they're going. The two of them are just running.
You don't know where they're at?
Well, currently I do. Well, but I mean, I'm not sure exactly where they're heading to. I know where they're ending up.
Wait. You don't know what the destination is?
Well, I know where they're going to end up. I'm not sure what the adventure might be in between.
Do you know where they are now?
Yeah.
Do you know where they're going?
Eventually,
well,
yes.
Well, fuck, then you kind of didn't know where they're
going
to do.
The question is, where are they going in between?
Are they
going
to do this, you think? Or are they going to go this way?
No, they're going to go, they're starting here in Chicago.
Right.
And they're finishing up in St. Louis somewhere. And they're going this direction.
Oh.
Yeah, so who knows where they're going
to
go.
Tell them to stay out of Effingham.
Yeah, they might have to drive through Effingham at some point.
Well, everybody has to drive through Effingham. But I'll tell you what, stay out of the bars.
Well,
those people are crazy.
We do know a lot of people in Effingham.
I know you do.
Yeah, there's a sign that says, Scott Whitney, not welcome here. Other places say, home of Hank Aaron, Scott Whitney, not welcome here.
First of all, no, what Effingham says is this, home of the 125,000-foot cross.
Right, it's a big cross.
Because we want to make sure you guys know we're Catholic. And
they're Dutch.
Hey Scott, come on and have a drink with me. See if you can add to our pyramid of beers. Oh, geez. Yeah.
So I give my wife $20. I said, give the guy the $20. You got seven bags, $3 a bag. Basically, give him the $20.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so she doesn't. She gives him 10 and gets, you know, gets changed. I go, come on. And of course, so I'm giving her grief, and the kids are giving her grief the whole way, the whole way to, like, to Chicago.
Yeah. We're going to give you 10.
Yeah. And I should have just given it to my daughter or my son. And it's not because my wife's cheap. It was just, she just, whatever. So all the bags arrive in Chicago perfectly fine. No problems. So on the way home, for me, I've got just the boys. So we're checking only 4 bags.
Right.
So I give the guy a nice tip. And I get off the plane in Vegas. We walk to baggage claim. And how many times have you flown into Vegas, and by the time you've gotten to baggage claim, your bags have already been there?
Never.
Exactly. I mean, they're not normally late. I will give them credit, because I was talking to the Southwest lady.
Never.
And she says normally it's 13 minutes from unloading to carousel, 13 minutes. That's the goal. Yeah. And occasionally, if it gets really busy, it's about 27 minutes.
How specific.
So I did not stop. I did not go to the restroom. I didn't buy anything. We walked from the B gates to baggage claim, and our bags were already there. So I say, hey, there's one. Hey, there's a second one. There's a third one. And now we're standing.
Ruh-roh.
And now we're standing. And now we're watching. And I'm going, of course, it's mine, son of a bitch. Where is it? And then the carousel stopped.
Oh.
That's not a good sign. Thanks. Shit. I'm fucked. So.
Oh, my God. Scorekeeping, because I am winning today, baby.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm going, well, let's find out what we have to do now. And the funny thing was, 3 of the 4 bags are part of a matching set. Yeah. Okay. And the biggest of the matching set was the one that didn't make it. So I go over to the Southwest thing, and they're very nice. And they were very, very
Can
nice.
Can you imagine a crappier job?
Yeah. Because you're dealing with somebody who's angry. And luckily, I knew I had time, and I wasn't really worried. I was more concerned, honestly, because the bags had arrived early before I got there, that somebody might have grabbed it off the carousel and took off. Because they do not check your tags on your way out. Right. Most airports don't either. And remind me, I do have a rant regarding TSA real quick. It's because everybody can appreciate the TSA rant. So I go to Southwest, and I tell them to, you know, give them the bag tags and all the stuff that they need.
Jesus,
and they say,
Christ, are we at 21 minutes?
Yeah, I know, because you told so much about EDC.
Son of a bitch.
I know. Right. So the they said 90% of the time the bag didn't get on the plane. 90% of the time. And I go, what happens the other 10% of the time? And the bag doesn't show up ever. They go, well, it is insured for $3,400. So keep that in mind, folks. If you ever want to lose a bag,
wait a minute.
$3,400 insured up to $3,400.
Melissa lost a bag and she didn't get $3,400.
Well, maybe you just didn't tell
something's
her.
Not right. Something's weird about that. No, she lost a bag and she got like pennies on the dollar kind of thing. It was not $3,400. Otherwise, you'd be like,
that's what they told me.
Lose a bag, Jill.
They said, hey, the next flight from Chicago is in at 2:45. You guys get in at 12:45. We'll call you at 3:30. I'm pretty sure the bag will be on there. And sure enough, it was. And they delivered it out to the house. And they said, well, if you want to come pick it up, we'll give you a $50 credit voucher. No, thanks. Bring it over to the house.
Bring it out.
Yeah, bring it on over to the house. So
that's pretty good.
End up being good. But here's the interesting thing. Now, you would think that TSA rules would be the same in every airport in the country?
Are you doing your rant now?
Yeah. Okay. Since we're talking about the airport. Wouldn't you think they'd be standardized? It's probably a better word
for
it.
Yeah, I would think so.
Wouldn't you, you take off your belt, you take out your laptop, you take off your shoes.
Well, so for instance, I know, like I'm in TSA pre-check, so I don't have to do
let's say you're going normal.
Things.
Let's say you're going through normal.
But yeah, TSA. I would think they'd be all the same. But they're not.
They're not.
No, yeah.
In Las Vegas, you're going through regular. You got to take off your shoes. Yep. You got to empty all your pockets.
Yep.
You got to take your laptop out of the case and put it into a separate bin.
Yep.
Midway Airport, Chicago. Psh, come on down, boys. No problem. What do you got there?
What's
big
that?
Old
What's
belt
that?
Buckle?
What's that?
Hell,
in your...
no problem, buddy.
What's that in your luggage?
Oh, jeez. No.
Sorry.
I mean, they're saying, keep your shoes on. You got any metal, take that out of your pockets. But, hey, your cell phone, keep them in your pockets. Don't worry about it. Just keep it all in your bags, and off we go. The funny thing was, I'm going through.
Did you say anything? Well, of course you wouldn't say anything.
No, I'm just saying, okay. Well, here's the thing. I get screened every time I go through.
You do?
Okay. Because I have stuff on my body medically. Right. So anytime I have to go through the thingamajig, they always go, what the hell's that? Yeah, I have to explain it to him. So now I'm going through the regular metal detector. And then I go through it. And the lady before me got randomly checked for her thing.
Right.
So then I go, oh, sir, you've been randomly picked. I go, what is it, 100%? How random is that? The kids are laughing. The guy's laughing. I go, come on, that's not hard. It's hardly random. Hey, I never know when it's going to go off. You know, so
welcome to Midway.
Yeah. Actually, I do have to say, if anybody's ever flown into Midway Airport, you know, I used to
live down there. We always fly into Midway.
It's a lot nicer than it used to be. It's so much improved. I have to give kudos to the city.
It's nice. It is
100% better than it was before.
And I don't even know where it is in reference to O'Hare.
South. It's an hour away from O'Hare.
Oh, then maybe.
It's like 55th and Central. It's, you know, that's where it is, off of Harlem.
How far is O'Hare from downtown Chicago?
About a half, without traffic, let's say 40 minutes.
And how far is Midway from downtown Chicago?
Well, Midway's south and O'Hare is west.
But how far are they from
Chicago?
They're
about the same distance.
Well, that's why I didn't notice the difference.
But they're from each other, they're not.
Okay, but they're both the same from, because everybody who flies there,
Midway
for business, you're going
Cicero
there to Chicago
and 55th Street South, and O'Hare's basically O'Hare is out west off of Interstate 90.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So. All right. So I just learned something this weekend, which is massive. Okay. We've talked about this previously on the show, that the Caesars Forum Mall, if you will, is the highest grossing mall in the country. We've talked about that before, but I've never really thought about it. I'm just like, yeah, I get it. There's Fendi and that fancy place right. and that fancy place. And this weekend, this Sunday, Father's Day, when you think Father's Day, what do you think? Well, hell, let's go shopping. Because that's what I did, because I'm the best dad ever. So we, Melissa and I go down to the Caesars Forum, and we're hanging out, and we're looking at stuff, and we're looking at all the fancy stuff. And we went into, you know, David Yurman, and we looked at some jewelry for Melissa. And I'm kind of a watch horse guy. So one jewelry that men can wear is watches.
Right.
So I always go into I think it's called Turing or Turig. There's a big watch store there.
Yeah.
And then there's also a Breitling watch store. And Breitling is the watch that I am lusting for.
A Breitling.
Breitling. And so I went into the Breitling store, and I was talking to these guys, and they're all very, very nice people. And I eventually talked to the Breitling ambassador there, super nice young kid. Right? And I'm like, you know, just curious. How much business do you guys do here?
Right.
And I started off with, you know, how many watches do you sell? He's like, well, you know, on average, we sell about 2 watches a day. I'm like, okay. He goes, but, you know, sometimes we'll sell as many as 8. I'm like, okay. So wait a minute.
It's a long, boring day.
2 watches.
The average price of a watch?
$10,000. Right, so okay. I did the math. So yeah, I mean, you can get, if you can go to Costco right now and buy a Breitling watch for $6,500.
Okay.
That's clearly low end. But you can get Breitling watches for $20,000 without even breathing hard. You know, I think there's sweet spots about the $10,000 range. Well, we'll do the math. So if I sell 2 watches a day, they're open 7 days a week. 2 watches a day, that's $20,000. So if I do $20,000 a day times 30, that's $600,000 a month these guys are bringing in. $600,000 a month times 12 months, that's $2 billion that this one place, okay, so it's 7 point some odd million dollars. These guys are bringing in $7 million. $600,000 a month. That's the number one Breitling boutique store in the world.
No kidding.
In the world.
7.2 million. Just
yeah. Oh, I knew Mr. that. So look at that. 600,000. So then I thought to myself, well, what's their rent? What do you think they're paying for rent?
Well, yeah, it depends on how big their store is. But
It's a small. It's a boutique. You know what? It's probably as wide as, maybe 1.5 as wide as this. And, you know, 3 times as deep, maybe. I mean, it's one of the smaller facades. Actually, yeah, it's a small facade. What do you think they're paying?
I'm going to save 50 grand a month.
Okay.
That's what I'm going
to say. That sounds about right. 50 grand sounds like a lot of money to me for rent. I know what I'm paying for rent. And if somebody came to me and said, and my place is bigger than their place, and they came to me and said, yeah, $50,000, I'd go,
right.
Give me some cocaine, some ecstasy, and some alcohol, because there's no way I'm paying 50 grand. But let's say they're doing 50 grand. So 50 grand, I don't know what they're paying these people. It can't be that much. It's commission-based, for God's sake. So they don't sell, they don't get paid.
Right.
Now, they asked the guy, you know what?
I'm sure the manager's doing pretty well.
Do you get a base? And he goes, yeah, we get a pretty good base. So, okay, fair enough. $600,000 minus 50, $550,000. There's 4 or 5 people working there. I don't care what you pay them. Pay them $100,000, which you know is not possible.
Well, it's a corporation.
But holy crap, these guys. And after I walked out of that store, I'm like, I get it. I never really got it because you see these places right. with, you know, purses that
I always talk about it completely empty.
Well, first of all, it was packed on Sunday. Oh, God, it was people
everywhere.
It was
Father's Day.
It was everybody. But, I mean, so I'm looking at these stores. I'm like, who buys a $10,000 purse? Their answer is, we don't care. One people, two people, we're good. And by the way, the coolest storefront in any mall is at the Caesar Forum.
Right.
And it's a place called H&M. You ever heard of it?
Yeah.
So it's like a clothes place?
There's one at the ghetto mall.
Well, fuck the ghetto mall.
No, there's one at Town Square.
Okay.
Town Square. I changed my mind. All right. I said,
Well, go, you know what? Just, I don't, H&M, what the hell do I care? Go look at H&M at the Forum. My God, it's gorgeous. It used to be FAO Schwartz, by the way.
Okay. Well, that's gone.
Oh, yeah.
People aren't buying toys anymore.
It's gone. One would allude that maybe Brett hasn't been to that mall in a long time.
Well, I wouldn't pay any attention to FAO Schwartz if I had to. If I went to the Forum Shops, it would be strictly to go eat somewhere, like at the Palm or...
Oh, go to the Italian place right by the big fountain.
Whatchamacallit? I've been there.
TV, Tuli, Tumi, Tali, something like that. Yeah. The Palms restaurant has one of those in London. Did you know that?
Did not.
Horrible.
Really?
Palms here? Good.
Yeah.
Palms in London? Crap.
Most food in London's crap.
Yep. Absolutely.
Hey, we're at 33, just so you know.
Okay, well, then we're almost done. Okay. Rebels.
Well, we can say that for our later on, because we're going to talk about the one of the questions that were asked about the merchandise. So we can mention Harry and wrap them all into one big thing.
What, the where to who?
Remember, somebody asked a question about Dukes of Hazzard merchandise. So we could roll that all
Where
over.
Do you see that?
I think it was Danny. Danny asked it. We talked
in here?
About yeah.
I don't see it.
Oh, scroll.
Oh, about the eBay stuff. Oh, about that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Let's just roll that.
Is that part of what the whole Rebel thing is?
Right.
Oh, is that? I had no idea.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Okay. All right. SLS real fast. Hey, guess what? SLS is losing money.
Shocking.
Have you been there?
No.
Yeah. Not surprising at all. But here's what is interesting.
I think their biggest problem is they don't have any neighbors.
Well, somebody...
It's too far to get to.
Well, somebody said that, but I'm like, you know, come on.
It's why... You need to have... I mean, the Bellagio is wonderful, but gosh, it's nice to have Caesar's Palace on one side and the city center on the other.
If the Bellagio was at the SLS, you think people would go? Guarantee it.
Not the same numbers.
Well, maybe not the same numbers.
I don't know. If the SLS was next to the Wynn... It was that close. Instead of it being the Peppermill next to the Wynn, I think it would be better.
SLS is, I think, when we walked in there, we're like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, and they're doing that. They're having the
Well, I don't get
problem.
The Cosmopolitan. I think it's the ugliest hotel I've ever seen.
I think it's a pretty sexy hotel.
It's non-functional for me.
Well, so they compared those two, actually. And what was interesting about SLS is they're having the same issue that pretty much every hotel is having now. So they did, in their first quarter revenue, $9 million came from the casino. $9 million was gambling. In a quarter, by the way.
Only $9
million? $9
million. That's it. That's not much.
No, well, it's not. That's why they're losing their ass. Right. So $9 million is in casino. Hotel revenue, people staying at the hotel, 13.6.
So they're obviously attracting a younger crowd that doesn't gamble.
Food and beverage was their biggest, 15.7. Yeah. So again, that's the same thing that happened to the Cosmo, by the way.
Right.
That they had a great restaurant thing on the second floor, which nobody really understood, and no one was gambling because they're all bypassing the casino floor to go eat, and you know, Cosmo was like, well, we're kicking ass when it comes to F&B, but that's not where the profit is. The profit is in the casino part of it, right? And so you walk in, and a couple of people mentioned this in the comments. It's like, you know, it's dead. Nobody's in that hotel, SLS. And people did say, yeah, the location is a problem. Now, they just got done having Rock and Rio across the street from it. That should have helped, but that wasn't in Q1. That's going to be in Q2.
The average, their pool of gaming applicants, basically, there is pretty much people that are staying there or coming to visit for a little while.
Right.
If you're at the Bellagio, you're drawing from every hotel on the strip because people are walking in from every direction into the middle of town and going, let's go have lunch at the Bellagio and we'll gamble for a little bit. Or you're across the street at Paris, you're at Bally's, you're at Flamingo.
I agree with that.
So I think that part of it is you know, who's walking from the wing going, yeah, let's go down to the SLS. No, let's go this way where there's actually hotels to see.
But I'll say, not actually, just one. Chan in the live chat says the aesthetics are horrible at SLS. And I completely agree. They don't have they didn't cover the freaking ceiling, which doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what the hell are you doing?
Maybe they ran out of money because nobody gambled. That's part of their plan.
It looked like a, you know, it just didn't make any sense
like
to me.
It
looked like a studio, like a recording studio or a video studio. I'm like, what are you guys doing here? Right. You know, and you spend all your money on that light box and that bar in the middle. It's the coolest light box ever. That's all you got, right? So what are you doing? You know, and I think like a lot of places. Well, actually, a couple of things. I said this before. One of the things that I think is important is the theming of casinos. What happened?
It's just me. I'm looking at me, and you're talking.
Oh, thanks. So there you go. Well, that's good,
Mr. Director.
Thank you, man. So one of the things that's important is the theming of a hotel. What does SLS mean?
I have no freaking idea.
Nobody knows what it means.
Does it matter? You don't know what EDM, EDC, NASA, FBI, TSA mean either.
Stand by.
Hey, push a button.
There it is.
You're killing me, Smalls?
Fuck off! You're killing me, Smalls.
I think you had to probably delete that whole entire thing.
I'll just do a bunch of those and I'll catch it. All right. So, yeah, so EDM, EDC, sucky. No one's going to know that, by the way, except for you, you bitch.
Well, and I noticed that our other folks knew about it as well. You know, I mean, the vast majority of people are not going to...
I made this up 45 minutes before I shot.
Let's say this. 50 years ago, there's not a person around that wouldn't be able to tell you what MGM meant. And I would say, and now there's not a person under 30 that could probably tell you what MGM is.
Right. Metro Golden Mayer.
Meyer. Whatever. But the vast majority of the under 30 crowd... No idea.
But here's my point about the SLS.
Because they're all about putting letters together.
But look, so Cosmopolitan, first of all, pretty strong advertising campaign. They're a hip and a little naughty and all that kind of stuff. SLS, you don't know what... That big white blobby thing out in the front of it? The hell is that thing? Nobody knows. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have a heart. It fails the Whitney theme test.
Right.
I've just created a new test.
The theme test.
The Whitney theme test, and it fails.
You're 38, just so you know.
Well, I guess we're about done. Okay. I'll skip the 86 thing you did that. You want to do Red Robin?
We already did the TSA. Well, real quick, I love the Red Robin. Red Robin used to have a location over at Sahara and Decatur when I first moved to town. Unfortunately, it went away and it became Habib's Mediterranean Cuisine. Not quite the same going for a kebab or a burger. And Habib himself, me no likey Habib. Anyway, so I choose not to go do business with him. So I was very disappointed when they closed and they didn't have a location anywhere near us. And they opened up in downtown Summerlin. So I've been frequenting it quite a bit.
They have one up in Centennial.
They do, which I've gone to before. And they also have one down in Henderson off of Eastern, which I've gone to when I'm in the area. But they're not close to where I am. But I do I very much like their crispy chicken salad. It's big. It's good. They have a very nice honey mustard dressing that goes along with it. A couple of pieces of like this nice little focaccia bread. And it's great for lunch. So today I go to pick up my son after work and I go, you're hungry because your mom's out of town. Let's go eat. He goes, I'm not really hungry. I go, well, I gotta go do the show and you know, let's go get a burger.
You know, you can invite your kids over to sit in the audience and watch the show if you'd like.
Well, one's at a baseball game today and the other one's doing stuff. But
right.
I go, let's go over.
We'll have nothing to do with this. Yeah, no. Fair enough.
So I go over to Red Robin and I order my crispy chicken salad. And it's usually in a bowl, and it's nice and big, and it's a meal.
Right.
And they bring me this salad, which is like different kinds of lettuce now. And apparently there's some bird issue with eggs or egg issue going on.
Yeah.
Me must have missed that. So they have no eggs.
Big problem.
Does the world drop dead in the three days I left in Chicago?
Well, a lot of things happen while you're gone.
Oh, wow. It's amazing.
By the way, I am the new president.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
I can't remember.
Easy. I'm on your side.
Congratulations. So anyway, they bring out this thing now in a different kind of plate. The focaccia bread is gone. I got arugula in the salad with the iceberg lettuce. I got 15 different kinds of lettuce here. And I'm looking at it going, is this the right order? He goes, yeah, they changed it. They put more goodies in it.
Oh, it's like
I go,
putting
more
kale.
Goodies in it. Well, it wasn't kale. But
oh, thank God.
Now, it tasted fine, and I'm saying that, but the portion was 50% smaller.
Ah.
The price was the same.
That's unusual, actually.
Yeah. And then instead of giving me my little focaccia bread in a nice little triangular square, they give me now two little crouton things, crusty breads, and I was a little disappointed. So I'm telling the guy, hey, what happened?
Tomahawk said no.
He goes, they just changed it like a week ago. I'm thinking, okay, it's only been like 2 weeks since I've been here. What the fuck, over? is what I want to say. So off here, apparently they had, here's the funny thing. They had a big manager's meeting and the manager said, if anybody complains ever about the new menu items, not how to throw them out. You have to call a manager over.
I didn't mean throw them out. I mean, change the menu. I didn't mean.
No, not even change the menu.
Get out.
You have to tell a manager so they can come over and explain it to us. And I just said, look, it tastes fine. I had no issue with
what
the quality
issue?
Of it is.
It's quantity?
It's they changed my favorite thing on the menu.
Wait a minute.
That's what it
you
is.
You sound like Grandpa Bill.
No, you can't go changing stuff. I used to be a member.
You can't go changing stuff?
Not my...
My business is because
not my
I
favorite
changed.
Thing on the menu. Not my favorite thing on the menu. Change somebody else's.
Yeah. Before we do the menu change, did we call Brett?
Here's my point.
Brett wants
that
to know.
Particular item is a, and I know for a fact because I know somebody that used to work there. No, it's not. Get off my lawn, Ted. So shut up. The
get off my lawn.
That particular awesome. Menu item is a very popular item on their menu. So why would you change a popular item on the menu?
Well, they must have changed it for a reason.
I'm sure to be cost efficient is the only reason why.
It's lettuce, for fuck's sake.
It's my salad. I'm upset about it. I was disappointed.
Something happened.
But the squeaky wheel got the oil. I got a free appetizer next time I go in.
You know what?
Mr. Grant, you're unhappy? Let me give you a free appetizer.
I'm going to go into Red Robin. I'm like... Brett special.
Exactly.
That's a Brett special. Mm-hmm. More crispy lettuce and a triangle piece of bread. Well, we'll have that.
But when you have your... I used to belong to a country club in town. And I swear to God, for 3 years, every time I liked a dish, they would change the menu and that item would fall off the menu. I'm like, son of a bitch! What happened to the rock shrimp open face sandwich? Oh, that was just a seasonal item. Yeah, well, you still got that thing that I never seen anybody order ever. But the thing that was popular, you guys get rid of. Anyway, so yes, get off my damn lawn.
Get off my lawn, you punk kids. I've never liked any of you. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Take a break.
Oh, sorry.
It was
I always do that mistake. Sorry.
Was that?
It was. Who was it? Get off my lawn. I thought it was Ted. No, Ted's Access Vegas. Who's Airport Limbo? I forget.
We're going to take a break before
that's
Brett
Eric
has
sorry, Eric.
A stroke.
I'm having a stroke.
Very, very worried.
My veins popping on my forehead.
Very worried about Brett. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. We'll be right back. Maybe, hell, I don't know. I may, if we come back and I'm doing CPR, pray for me.
I'm good.
Few things are as precious as your eyes. They capture a world in motion and a lifetime of moments. Choosing the right doctor for LASIK means understanding there really is a difference. Dr. Richard Rothman and LASIK of Nevada believe that safety, affordability, and the latest technology are important. Call today and get 50% off premium LASIK and $99 a month guaranteed financing. Helping people achieve their best vision on a personal level is the difference at LASIK of Nevada. Call or click 800 New Vision for premium LASIK at the best price.
All right, we're back. Hey, look at me. I'm still upright and so is Brett.
I'm here.
It's a good day in Las Vegas. All right, it's time for Chat Pourri. Live questions from the live chat people. That's right. We turn it over to you guys because we were too lazy to do the outline. No, that's not right. We're giving voice to the people who are arguably the most important part of our show. But before we get going, you know,
Yes. Sometimes
we have people who want to be a part of the show, Brett.
Doesn't mean we have to give them a voice.
Well, unlike you, who's you know, a get off my lawn, that's not my music, I don't like you young kids, get the fuck away from me.
Ding!
Story. That's not, we've got people who are like, you know, I like this Living in Las Vegas thing. I even like the Brett and the Scott. And I want to be a part of it. I want to give them some feedback. I want to be out there looking at what's happening and providing that guidance.
Guidance. We need guidance?
Well, I feel like we do right now. Guidance to our listeners and our viewer. And there is somebody who has done that for us.
And our viewer. It should be an S at the end of
viewer.
That.
Viewer. Did I say viewer?
You did. Can we at least add an S?
Hey,
so we have two?
Don't. Just because Okay. Just the wife watches, don't judge me. I don't like it. Anyways, we have such a viewer who wants to share with our viewers. And I would invite anybody who wants to do that. This is just between you and me. If you want to be a part of the show, if you want to review something and be a part of our show, I'd invite you to do so. Just like our good friend, Danny.
Hey, there. It's Danny Ackerman, your roving Las Vegas, Vegas Video Network reporter, reporting live from Barrymore's, where we just had dinner. And yeah, the wine was good. Can you tell?
She's being stoned.
Anyway, hey, got some recommendations here. Just pass on the salad, just saying, but go for the steak and the seafood. It was awesome. The ambiance.
Apparently, the salad maker is the same people who work at Red Robin.
Salad is the theme of tonight's show.
Back to the video.
This was great. Nice, quiet, little romantic place. And this one gets 4 thumbs up. 4 out of 5. Not too bad. We'll be back. That's it for your Vegas Video Network roving reporter. Signing out.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Now the hat, it looked like a rather formal outfit she was wearing there. And the hat really classed it up even more.
What I'm going to say is that hat says to me,
I'm hip, I'm chic, I'm now.
I'm happening.
I'm happy.
I have a palate the size of Montana. I know, that's probably not what I meant.
Because she likes steak.
I know I have a good palate. I know good food. And that's what that hat tells me. So,
and I happen to agree with whoever airport limbo is. I think that's Eric. It would look better in
it
red.
Is. What?
It looked great in red.
I'm trying to.
And green and yeller.
Why don't you like black? I don't understand.
I do like black. I just like variety. It's
I like black.
Of life.
Black is the color of my heart. And it's also slimming. That's why I think black. So get the fuck off my
Is head. Black and white really a color?
It is the absence of color. Black is, and white is all colors combined.
Uh-huh.
So that's what white is. Okay, so, hey, real quick.
Politically, that would not float today.
That's true, though.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying what it is.
Truth does not
matter. Just saying what it is.
I'm just saying.
Don't bring me into your hate.
I'm just saying the truth doesn't matter.
Now, the truth. Here's some more truth, and then we'll get to our questions, which is kind of interesting, is that there are smarter people than us out there saying, you know what? It's summertime. Summertime, summertime, summertime.
I got a little echo going here. I kind of like it.
That's pretty good. It wasn't so bad. That arguably was the best song we've ever sang together.
Yeah, it's also the only.
The first song we've sang together.
It's time to quit. We're perfect.
Good night.
Hall of Famers, one-hit wonders.
All right. 8, 6, 7, 5.
Okay.
All right. So
I got it.
There are people out there who are like, you know, let's figure some stuff out for the rest of the world. That's not us.
Right.
But we kind of glom onto those people and steal their shit. And so one of that was some people who said, you know, what's the best place to go during the summer for vacation?
Right.
Now, you might think we'd be biased. Mm-hmm. And you'd be right. But the truth is what?
Are we talking about what state or what city? Or
what
just
city is go to the top of your notes that you've been trying to have me do.
Oh, we've been talking about this
yes,
the whole time.
Holy Christ.
Well, we've had this. It's you know.
I've been putting it off because I didn't want to do it, but now I want to do it.
I know. Well, it's interesting because the fact that you're thinking about where would you go in the summer? Well, you go to the beach. You go to the mountains. You don't want to go where it's potentially, like last week, oppressively hot necessarily, but apparently that's not the case. The number one place to go to for the best city to travel to in America in the summer is Viva Las Vegas. Vegas is number one.
That's right, baby.
Which is shocking to me. By the way, number...
Is it shocking to you?
I was shocked. Are you kidding me? For example, the 78th worst place to go to is Providence, Rhode Island. I'd love to go to Rhode Island in the summer. You're not shoveling snow. You get the beautiful weather. You got 70, 80 degrees. You got the ocean.
It's a dry town.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm just saying in general, let's go to Rhode Island.
I made that up, but a lot of that area is dry.
Second
it's
item,
place.
Second city is Orlando, which makes sense because you have that crap Disney thing down there.
For the love of God, nobody loves you.
It's a wonderful place.
You are alone in the world.
Universal Studios is fabulous. Blows Disney away. No, I'm kidding. Atlanta. Now, why the hell would you want to go to Atlanta? I mean, you couldn't get hotter and muggier going to Atlanta. Now, in the fall, beautiful place.
I'll say this about that. I agree. What the hell is... what do you do? You know what you do in Atlanta?
Sweat.
No. Well, yes. And you go to the Coca-Cola factory.
Okay.
Okay. So if you're right now bringing this to the Coca-Cola factory, well, I'm going to the Coca-Cola factory, Dave, and I'll be right there. Well, that's going to be the best damn factory tour I've ever been to. Otherwise, if you can't bring this into the Coca-Cola factory, the fuck you doing?
Hey, there's you there, Baskin. Number 4 on the list. Ready? Phoenix.
That's as far as we'll go.
Even hotter. I'll just name
Have you been
quick.
To Phoenix?
Yeah, I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Phoenix is basically, they said, you know what? Let's see what it's like to live on the sun.
And add some humidity.
And we're going to put all the old people there. Now, my uncle lives there. He lives in the original Sun City.
Oh, that's cool.
The original one.
Right.
And it is actually...
It's Sun City, Arizona.
It's very cool, to be honest with you.
It is.
And he's like the mayor, kind of. He's like, he's driving around his golf cart.
Yeah.
They're driving around the golf cart, and the golf carts are like, they pull up in the backyard, meep, meep, people come out, bring out drinks. I'm like, holy Christ, I can't wait to get retired. This is it. But I'm not doing it on the sun. That's a little crazy. By the way, the worst places to go...
Well, let's just mention the top 10 real quick. Salt Lake City is number 5. Austin, Texas, 6.
What is Salt Lake City? What do you do there?
Well, Park City's right down the road. It's a just gorgeous area.
You can't ski.
I'm not sure why Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, would be number 7. Dallas, Texas, number 8. Los Angeles, number 9. And Albuquerque,
Here's what's
New
interesting
Mexico
about that
10.
Report, in my opinion. It was the costing things. And I like this. The price of the cheapest 3-star hotel room is 5 times higher in San Diego than in Las Vegas.
Well, it's based on the company that did the survey. It's called Wallet Hub. Yep. And they analyzed 80 of the largest markets across 13 key metrics. Among those were airfare costs, flight times, number of attractions, and things, you know, things to do. So there you go. So yeah, no San Diego.
But I completely get that. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm in. This is where we should be going. This is where we're going to live. The diversity of attractions is 4 times higher in Salt Lake than at Akron. When they say diversity, do they mean racial diversity?
Nothing to do in Akron. There's plenty to do in Salt Lake City.
See, I'm a little surprised by that because...
I guess you go to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Have you been there?
It's gorgeous, yeah.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Well, and did you do anything?
No, he's kind of looking at it.
See, that makes
it's
me want to put
what am I going to do? Scream?
I'd be like, oh, this is unfortunate. Okay, here we are. Live chat questions. Here we go. Live chat questions. How we do it on time? Oh, we're doing great. All right, here we go. Shoot. Danny wants to know, Scott, how do you manage to get that spanky bangs haircut so perfectly every week after week? Thank you. I get a haircut every 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and then I use what is literally, in essence, glue. And I'm not kidding.
Elmer's?
It's like a yellow tube.
Really?
Yeah, it's literally has the consistency
of toothpaste.
Of glue. No, not toothpaste. Toothpaste is soft and warm and gentle. I mean, it's Elmer's. And not even Elmer's.
Is it
glue.
like a big old glob of Crisco kind of thing?
It's not a wax. It's a glue.
Right.
It's white, blue, and you put it in there. And if you look, here, let's get a close-up.
Do I have to look?
You could literally, like, crack this stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We all do
it. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how I do it. And I what's the product? I knew you were going to ask me that. It's a yellow, like, tube.
Carpenter's glue.
it actually has the consistency of carpenter's glue. It's awesome. Horrible, nasty stuff. But it works really, really well. And it's cheap, too. You can get it at Smith's. All right, next question. Danny. Well, here's a real question. What's your thought on eBay and Etsy and Amazon restricting the sale of items with the Confederate flag? Did you write Dukes of Hazzard?
No, this is all Danny. She says, remember, this includes the Dukes of Hazzard. Well, first of all, let's say we all, I'm sure, you know, sharing the tragedy and the sorrow of what happened in Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah. I wish that the officers that found the young man would have put a couple bullets in his head and saved us all from having to go through all this stuff. And the act of a psychopath is not the act of a flag. And again, it's not just happening now in South Carolina with the Confederate flag, which is not their state flag, by the way. For some reason, and for whatever reason, it's always flown in their state capital. The state of Georgia has remembrances of the old Confederate flag as part of their state flag. So does Arkansas. So this is not going away. I mean, the old Miss University of Mississippi, their nickname are the Rebels, which, of course, were the names of basically the fighters during the Civil War.
Right.
And secession led to a lot of different things. And obviously now the only connotation left that people can think of it is with regards to slavery and racism. And I think to myself, well, if South Carolina is such a racist place, why would anybody of color stay there?
Right.
If they had the ability to be mobile, they would have moved. But as we know, 80% of Americans tend to stay close to where they were born.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a horrible tragedy. And again, we're glumming on to something that I understand the symbolism of it, but it's very hard to take that flag and basically remove it from the consciousness of the world like it didn't exist. And that's what they're trying to do now, which I think is a little misguided.
I really haven't thought about it until I got the question. And so while you were talking, I thought to myself, well, I understand the connection to that crazy fuck.
Right.
But that one crazy fuck doesn't represent whatever that is.
Right.
Whatever that flag is. So my point is this. If Etsy and Amazon and eBay and all those guys really thought it was a problem, why didn't they remove that 5 years ago?
20 years ago.
How about 20? Right. How about 20 years ago? So they're reacting. It's very much, well, it's kind of like...
I'll give you an example. In 1992, when Bill Clinton was running for president, along with Al Gore, they used the Confederate flag on their buttons, and their slogan was the Sons of the New South with Clinton and Gore. Their pictures on the button. The state of Arkansas in 1987, while Bill Clinton was the governor, redesigned their flag and they put some stars, and there's a blue star above the word Arkansas. That star represents the states that seceded from the Union, and Arkansas was one of those states. So there's lots of things that represent what's going on.
And so Jackie's, you know, Jackie's symbolistic in this. Wise. She's in there. She's like, well, it's been an issue for years. And listen, I've had this talk before.
It has been.
I don't disagree. It's not. And I am in no position to talk about it. I'm a white guy who has a good life, and And I don't get worried when cops pull me over. I do get worried when people pull me over. I don't much care for that. But I will say this. Why is it that if it was going on for years, you know, all these Amazon, especially, you know, the Googles and the eBays and these guys, they're like, oh, well, we're very progressive and all kinds. If it was that big of a problem, they should have covered it years ago if it was really the issue.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's not the issue. What I don't like is the I'm gonna get on this bandwagon and say I'm gonna do it now. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it.
Well, here's
look. I don't like that they're doing it now.
Okay, but on a larger point, forget the tragedy, but let's move away from the political part of it for a second. Should a company that is making a lot of money off of an item in America, where freedom reigns and difference of opinion and the First Amendment and all those things, suddenly, because of political pressure, not be able to sell something that has nothing to do with what this psychopath did? I mean, the act of one idiot is... I'm not defending the flag. It shouldn't be flying over the state capitol. I agree with that. But, like, the Dukes of Hazzard was a TV show, a very popular TV show in the 1970s. And the old General Lee was kind of a toy car that all of us liked to have because it was pretty cool because he got the hot chicks. Right. And that's what it was kind of about. So it was more. And the vast majority of the people who fought for the South in the Civil War, guess what? They were average guys. They weren't slave owners.
All right. So Jackie's like, yeah, but we use the N-word all the time, too.
We don't. I never use it.
No, we don't. It doesn't happen all the time.
I mean, our president used it ironically on a podcast the other day called the podcast was called What the Fuck.
Yeah.
And the president is on that. And he uses N-word. Oh. It's called WTF. And he was on the podcast. And he used the N-word.
He was on Marin's podcast?
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't care if the president is white, black, or translucent. I don't think that word is something that the president of the United States should say ever. I think it's beneath the office of the president of the United States to use the word.
Here's my point on this, and then we'll get going. My point is, that if it's bad, should they have not done it? My point is, if... This is like the whole Google thing. The whole Google thing is, you know, don't do evil.
Right.
And that's been their mantra forever. And the fact is, there is no question that Google is doing evil. There's just no question.
Right.
They know everything. That's hyperbole. They know a lot of things that if you knew they knew about you, you would shit yourself.
Right.
You know, Melissa and I have these talks all the time. She's like, I don't really care if people know me. The fuck you shouldn't. There's a lot of... So my point is, if Amazon and these guys really believed that it was a bad thing. They should have done it 5 years ago.
Right.
And right now, what they're doing is they're reacting to what's happening. So
it's the classic knee jerk reaction.
That pisses me off. You know, right. I agree. You know, so it's like I'm trying to think of I can't think of anything that I've actually done that was like that. Other than it's not even fair. But I have certain requirements to do business with me, and it goes against what many people think that you should do if you run your own business.
Right.
And I still do it
because
it's the right thing to do for me.
Sure.
And if somebody says, which has happened, you really shouldn't do that, I tell them, I don't care.
Well,
that's what I'm going to do because that's what I believe.
Right.
And that's what pisses me off about
I think the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, did the right thing. She decided for her state that the flag was coming down.
Yeah.
And should she have decided 5 years ago or whenever she became governor or the governor before her? Sure, they probably should have at some time. But obviously, it wasn't as huge of an issue as it is now. But I think she did the right thing in what she was doing. But it's not a federal issue. This is a state issue again, and it's up to the citizens of South Carolina to decide what they want for the symbolism of their state. We are not all the same. Wyoming is not New York. California is not Georgia. Missouri is not Florida. Every state is different. Things you like here that you can do in Vegas, like legalized gambling, you can't do in other places.
Let me just say this about that, and then we'll go to the next question. Here's the deal. So that flag, again, it has no effect on me because I'm a white guy.
Right. Oh, I don't like the flag either. I'm not from the South.
But wait. It has nothing to do with aesthetics.
Right.
If the black community looks at that flag as being egregious, a real problem, then I think people who are in power to decide whether that represents them needs to think about that. Because I think it's reasonable to think, okay, am I doing things that are clearly offensive to a group of people? I think that's reasonable. I just don't like the knee-jerk reaction kind of
thing. Well, let's say the guy went in and killed a group of, I don't know, somebody else. Okay, well, first of all, there was a story in Texas a couple of years ago.
I know where you're going that. If he's wearing a green dot and the four dots.
Right.
I mean,
whatever.
But the thing is that
they're just attacking the symbolism, which I don't think is the way to do it.
Well, the problem is that that symbolism has been used for that kind of attack before. That's the problem.
I agree with that.
That's where it ends. He used that same symbolism that others have had, and that's where he fucked. Well, that's not where he fucked up. That was intentional on this douchebag's part, but that's the issue. All right. So, I mean, it's a rough.
It is. It's a horrible story, first of all, and that's where we should be. And I think, unfortunately, as a country, we are more divided in this regard. And I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend, and I think this is a good point, because I think he really brought it around full circle pretty well. He goes, we're a country right now of extremism, meaning no matter what the issue, we are either on this side or that side, and we are vociferously defending our side, and there is no middle anymore. There really isn't. You can't be in the middle and just have a disagreement with people without being called names or being labeled this or labeled that, no matter which way you are. And it's as a country, we're less educated, we're more violent, we're more ignorant, we're hotter.
See, that's bullshit.
It's not. It's not. We are clearly less educated than we were a generation ago.
But we are much less violent, and I can prove it to you.
Okay. Well,
so maybe education for sure. And so actually,
I just think we've dummied down our culture.
Chan had a good point. She's like, well, you know, at least you got to start somewhere. And maybe that's the case. The question to me was, how do I react to those people, those companies doing that? And I thought was, man, if you really believe that, you should have done it 5 years ago.
That's a valid
and that's,
point.
And that's my issue.
Point.
So, you know, it may be, it clearly it represents bad news for a lot of folks. They should have thought that shit through a long, long time ago. Okay, last question for this
hit that button.
We're at about 27. We're probably not doing this show either. All right. Ken, what do you think about EDC? Oh, he spelled that wrong. EDM being held the worst heat part of the year. I'll tell you exactly what I think. It's the smartest thing they ever did. Do you know when EDC runs? It runs at nighttime. It goes from sundown to sunset. Nope, sunset to sun up. So in other words, when it gets dark, that's when EDC starts. So if you try to do this in, I don't know, January.
Right.
Those people would die.
It would be 4 o'clock in the afternoon, though.
They
would start earlier.
No, that's true.
As opposed to 9 o'clock at night.
But they would all be dead. Right. They'd be like, it's hard to be cute and sexy and do cocaine and ecstasy when it's 25 degrees out. So the reason they do that now is because when it's, I don't know, 2 a.m. You know what it is? It's 85 degrees.
Yeah.
It's,
but you know what? They're on that blacktop at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Awesome. Still pretty damn hot.
I still kind of want to go to that thing.
You want to do this one of these years?
I do really do want to. I really want to.
Only if I could sit in the press box at the Speedway and watch it.
You know, they live streamed it.
In air conditioning and watch with my binoculars.
They live streamed it, and yeah. I watched it for a while.
Did you?
It's fascinating. I'd say the stage. Well, here's what was it. Who was the guy?
I have no idea.
You guys might know. AVCII or something like that. He's one of the DJs, well known, making $20 million a year. So when the live stream was going on, he was playing. And this stage was fucking gorgeous. Right. I mean, it was monstrous. It had a big owl, giant owl. It was amazing. And I'm watching, and this guy is up there. And now sometimes these DJs create their own music.
Right.
He didn't. This was, I think it just seemed like regular old music. But he's doing this. And everybody's like, yeah. And I'm like, this is Brett's line. I use that in my demo about the
I saw co-op. It, yes.
Just press play. I don't get it. Why are they pressing play? And that's what he was doing.
Right.
I'm pressing play. Really? I don't get it, man.
Right, I'm with you.
So some of these guys I get, but that I don't get. All right. You know what? I'm not going to do cocaine. Ba-na-na-na. I'm going to... How are we doing on time? God,
1 hour in, we're fine.
All right, have a drink on me. This is part of the show where we put up a picture of a bar that I have been to, or more recently, that I have stolen off the internet because I've been there but haven't had a chance to go. And if you get it right, what do you win? Well, you get
that beautiful black visor.
Oh, you do the voiceover. I'll just hold stuff up.
That gorgeous black visor that comes in every color of the rainbow as long as it's black.
Or
you can have one of Scott's great 3 CD, the amazing collection available only at Ronco. There you go. Wait, it's Gajazzathon.
Ronco?
It's Chris McCoustic.
It's not Ronco.
Yeah, but with KTEL. KTEL Records presents Freedom Rock
or
with Scott Whitney.
You can have...
Gajazzathon too. Or a drink on Scott. Does that mean you could pour it on Scott? That'd be fine, too. Scott tonight is drinking Captain Morgan and Coke. There you go.
Okay, that voiceover thing that was the first and last time.
That was pretty good.
That was actually funny. We'll do that again next time. Okay, it takes a lot of the pressure off me, and that's really good. Okay, so last year, last week, when we had a fight with the...
I like the one this week. I'm excited.
Have you been there?
No, but I like the name of it.
So, by the way, if you choose to play along, and we hope you do, then of course you're going to send your email to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. And Brett decided not to talk about that. And again, you could go to you can win Gajazzathon, a lot of different places. You can look very groovy.
I did not get
in your own
to
hat.
Talk to my father and
by the
day.
Way, sorry. There's our newest.
Who'd that be?
Mikey hanging out. Mikey's actually loading.
What's he got going on? He's doing some buckshot. He's loading a gun.
He's loading stuff.
He's creating his own little ammo there.
That's what you want. You want?
Is that what he's doing?
Yeah. His email was basically, here's a picture of me, and I'm loading a 49 megas at a Fredestadi. I'm like, well, okay, good talking to you.
It's good to know we got the Vegas Video Network and the Liberty in Las Vegas Militia
armed and ready to go. And then of course we've got this. And by the way, we've been in Russia. Okay, so let's take a look.
I like all the extra pictures we got going.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, we started. I mean, we've done how many shows together? 11, 12?
140.
Well, I mean, you and I together.
Feels like 140.
I mean, tonight's about 140. Yeah,
We did five. This is 2015.
Okay.
Or 16.
We started with just the one picture. Of the hat with my dad, and now you've got multiple.
This is fun. And by the way, if you want to add your picture, you should just send your picture to me.
Well, as I mentioned, I still don't have a visor
because you don't like black.
Well, I didn't say I wouldn't take one.
Do you want one?
Sure. I think I've earned one. Have I earned one? Wait, he's leaving the set. I finally got Scott to quit. It worked.
I work here, son.
Hello, Periscope. Where's he going? Oh, he's back.
There's nobody here. Fuck you.
I think that might have been like, hey, I got a hat. All right, sweet. Doesn't quite fit around this.
I went out and bought a bunch of hats because one extra one so that you would have one.
The top
that's
is
way to go, Rain Man.
Doesn't quite work that way.
Way to go, Rain Man. Try it again. All right. So here we go. Here's last week's. Oh my God, it's like working with the. All right. Here's last week's Have a Drink on Me. We had 16 entries. I'm sorry. We had 19 entries, 16 of which were correct. And by the way, I kind of feel for you guys, because when I first thought of this place, I saw a picture of a place like this, and I was wrong. All right, so here it is. Here, and remember, our hints were home to... This was the biggest hint here. If you just looked this up, you would know what it was. Home to Nevada's first Cicerone, which is the equivalent of a wine or a beer sommelier. So it's a beer person who does like wine stuff, okay? And then it's a casino thing and a blah, blah, blah.
Sommelier.
Okay, so here it is. Let's start going through our correct entries. First of all,
look at the hat.
This might be. Let me get it.
The best looking model you've ever seen, right here.
Hold on. Let me grab that picture. Look. Hold on. Look right at it.
I'm looking right at it.
Big smile. Big smile.
There you go. You got it.
Got it.
All right.
All right. And there it is for you.
There you go. I got the lid.
I'm going to move that up there into our list of great people who have that. Okay.
There you go.
Next time you piss me off, I'm going to go, hey. That's the bread I want. Give me that bread. I don't want any angry breads. Okay, so hey, last week, shockingly, you know, we had some technical difficulties. And by the way,
you think?
I won.
Yeah.
Notice that it's working now.
The cuss meter? Oh, you won.
I'm talking about the TriCaster problem.
Yeah, okay.
Operator error. Don't judge me. I had a lot going on.
Oh, you heard that, folks? Operator error.
Yeah, so I admit it. So I made a mistake. What do you want from me? All right, but so I also made two other mistakes. I forgot two people who were correct answered last week. And I forgot.
Oh, how'd you do that?
Really? That's the question? How did I do that? Were you not at the show when I was like, fuck! I can't figure out what's happening here. Why is this happening to me? Do you know how many times I tried to start the show? 5. Because I looked at them like,
I was here.
This is 5 times I tried. You know, and like, so how did I screw that up? That's under a little bit of pressure. Anyways, so Chris Scott, who's from, I feel bad about this. He's from Yorkshire, England.
Yorkshire.
Yorkshire. So we have an English guy, and I have an affinity for the English. So I'm sorry about that, Chris. And also Charlie Lipset, who I missed last week. I'm putting him in there. Okay, let's go. First of all, ready?
I'm ready.
Here's where we're going. Malia.
Malia.
Malia, you got Moyer's husband, but God dang it, put his name in the email instead of just saying her email for her husband says Maya's husband. How weird is that?
Right.
That poor guy. Monica, you know, Monica's been there doing that for a while. Scott, is Scott Van Fleet, let me see if he's playing along. Let me see. Kid? Kid, is he in? I don't see him. Nope. Oh, that's too bad. That was a chance because he was in the last time. So Scott Van Fleet, remember, oh yeah, I forgot the rule. Oh, you forgot that part. If you're in the live chat during Have a Drink on Me, we double your entries if you have an entry that's correct, right? So Scott Van Fleet, I don't see him in there. Sorry, Dan. Steve I. Steve I's in. Boom.
Steve I.
Steve's always in.
All right, Steve.
Oh, he was in. Let me double check. Let me double check. Here he is. Steve I. Stevie, baby. Brad, are you Brad? Well, holy crap!
Brad is here. He says,
"Brad, what's
LSU crazy?"
Are you Brad? Oh, holy crap, Brad! That's awesome. Brad, no, we have his shit. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that was a cuss word. All right, Charlie is back in again twice because I screwed up. Steve, did I just put that in? Okay, Brad from Baton Rouge, right? Brad,
I just put him in.
Did you put him in?
I did.
Awesome. Okay, and David Timon. All right, very well done. All right. Some quick comments. Alan Perry, what he loved about this, we're educational, if nothing else. He got to Google the word Cicerone, and now he knows what the
wine,
beer equivalent of a wine connoisseur. Yeah. And then Aaron, who's his wife, by the way, couples out there, I'm just telling you, double up. She says, you know, I really enjoy that Alan does all the homework, and then I just copy. Of course, Alan was wrong once, and that made them look stupid. Get this, somebody now named Melvina, who is Chan's mom.
You don't think it'd be Melvina?
Well, how
do
you spell it? Is it Melvina? M-E-L-V-I-N-A?
In Chicago, that's Melvina.
Okay. Well, here's what
a joke
I'm saying.
There, and this is not
that's
about-
her mom, and guess okay. what? What was funny about Chan and Melvina was that they had put in a different one first. And I don't know, 5 minutes later, like, no, that's not the one we want. Right. We want this place. And then, so Chan did that. And then the mom did. Whoops. The mom did. Oh, sorry. My daughter lied to me, and I actually had to do all the work.
You've heard the old Chicago jokes, the three streets in Chicago that rhyme with vagina. Melvina, Paulina, and Lunt.
Oh, man. That's why no one watches this. All right, Brian says, first of all, his email was, he referred to me as Mr. Whitney.
Very nice. Yes.
Thank you. And then he said he loved the new start time. Thanks, Brett. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. We don't have a new start time
anymore. No, Brett screwed that up.
I'm sorry, Brian. Goodbye. All right.
Danny didn't like my joke, but by the way, that joke is on Urban Dictionary. I didn't make it up. It's been around for a very long time. It's an old Chicagoland joke.
Nobody lied.
Is that all of them? We got them all in?
Nope. Okay. Now we've got the emails. Okay. Mike Q, who's in the live chat.
All right. So I got to put Mike
Q. Here's what Mike says. Mike is, I think Mike is the Living in Las Vegas archivist.
All right.
Fair enough. Mike says, hey, having seen every episode from number one, and he was the guy I right. said who went
Watch
back.
Them
and,
all, yeah.
Right, I do believe that this one has been used before at some point, before the pre-blackout period. Now, I'm going to have to do some research on that.
Oh,
that
is. Okay.
Also, not sure if this is where to... I think it's bad, blah, blah, yeah, okay. In the pic, I am... Oh, oh, hold on. Stand by. Here's Mike.
What's he doing?
In the picture... Okay, good Lord. I think it is mandatory that everybody sends a picture. In the pic, I'm casting some 45 ACP bullets, and it was nice not to have the sun in my eyes. Okay, so what we've basically done is we've allowed somebody to load bullets because of a... Hey, Mike,
this hat is versatile.
Mike, please don't do anything scary.
No, he's practicing his Second Amendment rights.
Gene the dancing machine. Gene is also known as Pop.
Do I get to read one of these or no?
Read that one.
All right. Okay. I get to Pop.
Well, you could have read the last one. Oh, I'll read that
All right. He says, yes, Scott, it's Pops again. Learning to do my homework, he says. You didn't make this one easy, but the correct answer is Public House of the Grand Canal Shops at the Venetian. Although Woo-hoo! He spelled Venetian, I guess he sort of kind of spelled it right. Not quite.
We had some people say it was in the Palazzo, and too. Anyway. I just let that go in.
Well, it's actually in between. It's called Restaurant Row is where it's at, so it's kind of in between. It bridges the two.
Yeah, it's actually it's really on the edge. It's on
I know exactly where it is, but it is in technically Restaurant Row. I think they both kind of share that space.
I'm a giver, really.
Anyway. Keep up the great work, and thanks for the tips about the two magazines with the list of all the live gigs, and
you
said nobody was paying attention. I wish the entire opening of last week's show had made it on the YouTube edition, complete with the audio portion that even the live viewers didn't get to hear. The portion that we did get to see and hear was highly entertaining. Say hello to RQS and DHC, Disney Hayton County, for me. I love you, Pops. I got something in my eye for you right here, Pops.
You double Pops, right?
I got Pops in there. He's in there twice.
Chan, whose name is actually Chantel, just so
Chantilly
you know.
Lace.
And I'll let you read that one, too, since it's a Goyle.
It's a Goyle. Oh, yes, Brett.
Double. She's in.
Oh, I like the font. Okay, I went to... Well, I can't do two things at once.
Well, then give me it back.
And chew gum, for crying out loud.
Baby. Are you folding?
I'm folding. Okay, I went back and looked at the photo and realized that my first guess was wrong, but now I'm 100% positive. I'm correct this time, and if I'm wrong, which I'm not, then I will sell my future firstborn to Scott Whitney for a Scott Whitney CD. This week's Haddam for this week is The Public House.
I'd like to recommend the Gajazzathon City. If you're going to give away one of your firstborn children, might I recommend...
That might get you in the mood.
You might need some gin and tonic after giving them away, which is the name of this song. So remember...
Or even for the act of creating.
Remember, get your... Oh, I'm sorry, look out!
That's
enough of that.
Okay.
Fun. Okay. I'm
not sure what you were doing there.
Oh, that was neat. All right, next one. Well, you can read this one too.
I get to read them all.
Danny Ackerman.
Oh, Danny.
Boom,
girl.
Give her another one of those.
Oh, Danny boy. Wow. This is like the Danny show tonight. Let me ask you this question, Scott.
Ask away.
How many times have you been on Danny's show? How many times have I been on Danny's show?
You know what's fascinating about that? Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, exactly. How many times have we been on your show?
That doesn't matter. Yeah. She's never invited me.
Yeah, exactly. Or me.
I'm in that same room the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm here pushing buttons. I don't make any mistakes on her show, by the way.
Yeah, well.
Made a couple here, but not on her show. And I think I might have made one mistake. No, I didn't. It was.
Eh. She made the mistake.
Error. Yeah. Anyways, have I ever been invited on? Nope.
See, there you go.
I know. All right. So have I ever sold anything on eBay?
Yeah, probably have.
Yeah, I did.
I've bought things on eBay. No, not sure. A while, though. Yeah, what are you gonna do? She says she starts out her email with the long, hard, tubular cylinder. That seems
right.
That's a nice start, Danny.
Good talk.
On the ceiling. Hey, what were you thinking? Gave it away. Beer and more beer. Oh, public house. And I have told you guys how Studley Live Video makes you.
She's talking about these things here, by the way. Right. Just so it's not, you know.
Oh, and if not, maybe because it doesn't. Love you, the show. My family now knows Tuesday nights I work late. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
By the way, Brett, yes, in the live chat, Danny says, Brett, you're invited anytime.
Oh, okay.
Danny says, hey, you set up a freaking camera. Oh, well, I did. Well, I can't really do that and direct it because there's an echo and it's kind of creepy. All right. Anyways, okay, so then Danny's in. All right, you got her double?
I believe I did double for Danny. Okay. Did I not?
And then finally.
I think this is it right here. Yeah, I did.
Oh, wait, you did Gene. You already read Gene, right?
I think so.
Did we double Gene?
Gene was...
Pops.
Yeah, I did.
All right, good. Yep. All right, that's it. All right, okay. Let's stir it up.
Stir the pot. Stir the pot.
Little John,
I am an entrepreneur. Yes.
Stir it up. Oh, yeah. Sing it.
Stir it up.
Stir it up.
Chan, I like Chan. Big money. Come on, big money.
Come on, big
money. No whammies. No whammies.
Remember that show?
Oh, yeah.
What was that show?
What the hell was it called?
Excellent. Perfect World, then.
What was it called?
I don't remember.
It was.
Here it is.
It's folded by not me.
And the winner is?
I think this is rather appropriate.
Excellent. Good to hear.
Chris Scott from Yorkshire, England. The guy who you screwed last year.
Oh, my God.
Last week, I should say.
Everybody is.
Congratulations, Scott. And now the visor, we hope, will make it over to England.
But wait.
Right in his pudding. Right in his Yorkshire pudding.
Chris win.
Chris wins the visor. We want to see them eating some Yorkshire pudding with it. Pudding. He can win the beautiful visor, courtesy of Scott Whitney and the Vegas Video Network, and the latest musical collection from KTEL. It's everything. It's slices, it dices, it julienne's, it's Gajazzathon, Crisp Acoustic, and Gajazzathon 12. And you can have a drink on Scott, although his glass is usually empty, waiting for you to fill it. You're paying for it. There you go.
All right, congratulations.
Hope you have a comp, because Scott brings no money.
Here's a... Yeah, right, that's how it's working out for me. So here's the new rule for people who live in England. I ain't shipping shit to you.
Why not?
I'm just kidding.
I'm not to Russia?
Yeah, but you
how
know
much
what
that
he
cost?
Did?
He's a good
well,
guy.
No, he has a P.O. box in New York.
Oh, all right, so all you folks in England get a P.O. box
in
New York.
Get a P.O. box in...
Then fly across on the... They get rid of the Concorde. They still have the Concorde.
Here's
zip
what
over,
I want. I just want you people in England and outside of the U.S. that if you win, just take a have a drink on me. Just come on. When you're here, let me buy you a drink. Oh, hell, you know what? New rule. If you're outside of the United States... And you, I'll buy you two drinks.
Oh,
that's
there you go.
Right.
There you go.
Because I
wouldn't
am
that be the same cost as shipping?
By the way, and
if you're willing to buy two drinks,
he and I, John and I, had I don't know
12.
felt like it. It was a pretty good time. All right, now without forgetting,
don't forget you're
let's
doing
look
it.
Look at
Hallelujah, Hallelujah. He's learned. Those that do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Right. Scott repeated it for 7 consecutive weeks. Finally. He's ready for week 2. Go, Scott,
right.
Go.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Good talk. All right, here we go. Here is this week's Have a Drink on Me.
Do you need another drink?
Well, can you put some ice there?
I would love to.
Let me help you. Instead of making fun of me. All right, Have a Drink on Me this week is, there it is. Boom. All right, here's hint number 1. It is downtown.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay, hint number 2. It is one of the original bars. This is not at Fremont Experience. It's on the east side. East side. One of the original bars. And guess what? It has a very prominent neon sign in the front of that place that was paid for partly by His Honor Oscar Goodman. Meaning... The city paid for people to start putting stuff up before Fremont East blew up.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
I think we talked about this last week.
Huh?
We talked about this last week.
We did. kind of.
So if somebody was paying attention last week, they would know what it was.
Well, no, I picked this thing literally 5 minutes before the show. And number three, hit number three. Did you put that in there? I can't drink that. That's full-blown Coke.
What are you going to do? You're going to go into diabetic shock or what?
It's just such a, is that all the ice we have? Yeah. You got to hope. Okay. Yeah. And hint number three, it has a bit of the Irish, which is the worst Irish accent, or bit of the Scottish.
There you go.
There you go. Okay. It's a bit of the Scottish, and I am 25% Scottish, so if anybody knows, well, that's me.
And the final clue, it is the nickname of my high school, alma mater. Oh,
and where did you go to high school?
I went to a high school in St. Louis.
There you go. And if you know,
if I gave you the name of the high school, then you could Google it.
But what's the city?
St. Louis.
Like for instance, my school is called, my high school is called Pacifica.
Right.
So in San Garden Diego, Grove.
In Garden Grove.
But so that doesn't tell you what our mascot was. The Mariners.
The Mariners.
But so what was the name of your school? Is your name of your school also the name of the
town?
Thing is, no. Is your name of the school that name?
No, it's a nickname.
I'm willing.
That's our nickname.
Okay.
It's Vianney.
What?
St. John Vianney High School.
That tastes like I'm eating 2 pounds of sugar in a beverage like mode.
Isn't it awesome?
God. It's awful if I have a hangover because that's part of my hangover cure.
Is it?
Yeah. Really? The best hangover? No. No. Best hangover cure in the world is basically a McDonald's Happy Meal. Cheeseburger, small fries, and a full-blown Coke.
Ours was always Mountain Dew and plain label Doritos because we couldn't afford the real Doritos. And we called them PLDs, or as you would call them, PLDs. EDMs.
See, that's funny, except for the part where you're really mean-spirited.
Oh, that wasn't mean-spirited at all.
Okay. All right, let's get right into it because... Well, it wasn't. It was pretty funny, though. Thank you.
You're a little higher than normal there today.
I'll tell you what. What's that guy from Guns N' Roses?
Axl Rose.
He's got nothing on me.
No, you're pretty good.
Axl Rose is my bitch.
You're a little sweet child of mine.
I can do that.
You can do it?
I can do snake.
Of all the songs, well, that's clear. I mean, Paradise City is a nice one, but Sweet Child of Mine was...
both of those songs.
The Jungle was, Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome but, to... You know, that's,
yeah,
you know,
but the, I, yeah, Sweet Child of Mine, though, that was the one song I just dug that song.
Do you
more
know
so
where
than
that
the other
line
song.
Came from?
Sweet Child
Welcome
of Mine.
Welcome to the Jungle. Oh.
No,
that came. He was a homeless kid for a while, and he got lost in New York, and the guy said, "Welcome to the jungle. No. You're gonna die."
Wow,
that was actually what he was told, and he's like, "You know what?
Thanks for sharing.
Can I use that for a lyric?
Yeah,
because I'm gonna be.
I got a song there.
I'm gonna be a really rich
welcome
prick.
To the jungle.
Absolute prick. Here,
is he? Is he a jackass?
Oh, he's a complete
is he?
Douchebag. Yeah. Yeah. There is nobody who likes him except for. Well, hold on about that. Nobody. All right, we got one question for today's email. It's written by a male, so I will read it.
It's from a guy named Jeffrey.
Jeffrey's a friend of mine, actually.
Okay.
He's a long-time
associate. You're a friend of the world.
I am a friend of the world.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
Here's what Jeffrey says. Hi, Scott.
That's very nice of him.
Konnichiwa.
It's a good start.
Yes. He's right now teaching a class in Oxford, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's kind of a smart kid, or older guy. A 23-year-old friend of mine, who actually runs the blah, 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 is heading to Vegas for the first time next week. He has never been to a strip club.
Pourquoi? Poor bastard.
He plans to do so. Any suggestions on where he could have a great time and be reasonably safe? As you may recall... I have a high level of naivete, which is actually a girl I know, on such topic. Here we are, all is well. Okay, so here's a shocking fact. If you were to guess the number of strip clubs in Las Vegas, what would you guess? Just guess.
The number of strip clubs in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
30.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that might be a little high, but let's go with that. If you were to guess how many strip clubs I have been to since living in the Las Vegas, which has been 10 years, what would you guess?
I'm going
to
say zero because I figure that's where you're going. One, okay.
And it was only because I took some friends in there, and that was that strip club on Fremont Street Experience. What's that thing called?
The Glitter Gulch.
Yes, which, by the way, is, if there was a definition of hot mess, ladies and gentlemen, Glitter Gulch.
Been there.
So I walked in there, and I sent my two friends in there.
I actually bought G-string off of one of the girls.
Well, who wouldn't, really?
The funny thing was she was wearing two.
Well,
that was the fun
part. Did you really buy a G-string?
Yeah, no, we were.
Does Kathy know about this?
Yeah, she was there.
She was there?
Well, we were doing...
Wait a minute. It was there. Seriously?
Well, it was part of an event where we were debunking the president of our Rotary Club. He was dressed as Elvis. He was playing Twister on Fremont Street with tourists. And above his Elvis costume, we had to get a G-string, which I bought from a stripper inside Glitter Gulch for $20.
Right?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, so...
And I go, oh my gosh, she's actually got two on.
Yeah, okay.
Interesting.
Okay. So I've been to one. It was that one, but I've never been to any others, of which there are many. And my recommendation to Jeffrey and his little buddy is, Danny says, do not go to Glitter Gulch. That would be not where I would say to you. I would say this, and only because they have a Facebook page and they actually do a lot of daytime activities as well. And that is Sapphire Gentlemen's Club.
There's several, actually,
a pretty classy place.
Well, Sapphire's used to be the big sporting house facility where all the movers and shakers of Las Vegas went and played basketball back in the 80s.
I mean,
in the 90s. It was a hugely popular place on Industrial. I've been to several, probably 10 of them. And
not a long time,
but
shit.
I used to play hockey. We used to go out and have fun.
Oh, so you're blaming it on the hockey?
No, we used to go out and have fun.
Attaboy.
I actually, on my hockey team, a couple of guys were dating. One guy married a girl from Little Darlings, which was the totally nude place.
Oof.
She was gorgeous. I mean, she was drop dead gorgeous.
You talked to her?
Yeah. She was in our locker room with us. Well, we're changing clothes to go home and take showers. She was in the locker room hanging out with us. I got to go. Was she naked? I got to go take a shower. No, we were. We're just guys walking around. You guys are fine.
That seems completely unfair.
Yeah, I agree with that. Oh. Club Paradise used to be a great place. I think Treasures is cool these days. I mean, Olympic Garden gets a lot of heat.
You know what's funny about Treasures?
Cheetahs is, if you like girls with lots of tattoos, then Cheetahs is a place you'd probably enjoy.
Here's the great thing about Treasures, and everybody I've ever seen does this every single time. So Treasures you can see from 15. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're going northbound on 15. I don't remember what street it's off, but it's...
Highland.
It's by... Okay. Everybody does
this. Do I know too much of this?
So yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Yeah. We should go to a strip club sometime.
I haven't been there in years, though.
Neither have I. Never been to one. I've got a 21-year-old nephew-ish coming in down in July. Melissa said, you're not bringing him to a strip club. I'm like, absolutely. But I'd take him to Sapphire. Okay. So here's what is funny about Treasures. Everybody, 100% of the people who drives on 15 North, Treasures is huge. It's a monstrous property.
Right before Sahara.
And when you see it, everybody instinctively looks to see how many people are there.
Right.
Everybody. They don't look at the building, which is nice. It's a very, gothic kind of, not gothic, Caesar-y kind of thing. But everybody doesn't turn at the building. They turn at the parking lot.
There's one other place.
How many of you bastards are in there at 2 in the afternoon? Everybody does that.
There's one other place in town that does that, too, with multiple outlets. The Adult Superstore.
Oh.
Is there anybody's car I recognize?
You know what's a good store?
As you're driving by?
Hey.
Oh, there's Bob's car.
There's a good, it's a great place is the Love Store. Have you been there?
On Rainbow? No, I have not.
There's a couple of them. There's one on Rainbow.
Right down the street here.
Yeah. And then there's one on, three of them in the town. It's actually a pretty cool place. Mm-hmm. Although it's very, very hard to talk to a little girl about
whatever
stuff. You're looking at her like.
Explain to me the dynamics. How many RPMs are on the rabbit?
Yeah. I can't really have this conversation with you, but God bless your little heart for trying to make me feel comfortable about that. Anyway, so I would say Sapphires. Brett is obviously more experienced at this than I am, but God bless his heart. He and I are going to be going on a strip club trip anytime.
Well, see, here's the thing. I moved to Las Vegas 16, 17 years ago, so I was about 30, and I had lots of people who came to visit us. And when I play in hockey, we had a lot of younger guys that were just turning 21, and it was like, what do you guys want to do? Let's go take George to the strip club.
I did a strip club.
We actually took our goalie after we won a championship to Pahrump.
I remember when I was, I used to work for a company called Varian, and we used to go to Gloucester, Massachusetts. which is the heroin capital of the, of the country, by
is
the way.
Gloucester?
How do they spell Gloucester?
Yeah. How do they get those words? Like, you know, Worcester. How do you get Worcester out of that? How do you get Worcester?
All I know is Worcester, actually,
how does that
is
happen?
Where I went to a strip club.
Okay.
You know, a bunch of us going there, and we were hanging out. And so we're there, and it's, you know, it's these little drink glasses this big for 10, 15 bucks. I'm like, okay, let's go. And it was the equivalent of open mic night.
Right, right.
So whatever you call
it. At the strip club.
Yeah. So this little girl comes up, and I'm like, oh, man, you really shouldn't be here. This is, I feel, you know, kind of bad. Like, oh, this is not bad. I mean, I don't know what to do. I'll throw her a dollar just so she gets the hell off this fucking stage. This is bad news. Little girl, she's head down, tucked, you know, wearing a big sweater and stuff. And I'm like, oh, what happened? So she gets up on stage, music plays, she whips off her stuff, and I'm like, yeesh, holy camoly, you're the best I've ever seen.
I love you.
So
here's my wallet.
So I gave her a credit card. Well, don't judge me.
I've got one of the greatest strip club stories ever. It didn't involve a strip club here in Las Vegas, but we're at a bachelor party, and one of the things, and it was for my younger brother, and we rented a school bus. So we load up the school bus with about 20, 30 guys, and we load it up with booze and a keg and all that. And we just go out and we're hitting clubs and we're doing all kinds of stuff. And it's about, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning. My brother had passed out at like 11 and he comes to life at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's the greatest revitalization ever in the history of drunkenness, right? So we're in this strip club, and the place is bebopping with the music, and he's having fun. We're all kind of standing around watching some girl dance, and she, you know, takes off her dress, and now she's done. And she goes to get off the stage, and she can't find her dress. It's gone. And she's screaming, like going ballistic, where's my dress? That's my $200 dress. I can't believe it. Where the hell's my dress? Just go. And of course, here come the bouncers.
Right.
You know, all 6'7", 6'8", 350-pound guys that are going to rip you from limb to limb. And they're just screaming at
us. You don't toy with bouncers.
No, and I'm going, you know, and we're all been out having a good time. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about. No clue.
Right.
The dresses. And it was, she's looking around where I'm standing. I go, I have no idea, man. I'm still standing here. I didn't, you know. So we forget about it. She's off crying in the corner somewhere and being consoled by the fact that her dress is gone, and we go to leave. So we go out to the bus, and I have two younger brothers now, and my youngest brother, who we hadn't seen in a while because he was at a different part of the club apparently. So we get to the school bus, and laying across the hood of the school bus is my younger brother, passed out on the hood, wearing the dress. He's just like this.
And that's why he became president.
And we're like, dude, we almost got killed over that dress. I don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, we're going to wrap up now. But before we wrap up, I have to say one thing. We have a new contest or a new thing, a new event. And that is the coolest line in the live chat. Today's coolest line in the live chat goes to Chan.
What did she say that was cool?
Chan. She said strip clubs can be so fun.
Oh, there you go.
Love them.
It is always interesting when there's ladies there as well. Yeah.
Chan. All right, so Chan wins a all expense paid trip to her bathroom. Okay, good for her. I'm not giving you everything. I'm just giving you what I got. All right, hey everybody, thanks again for playing along on the big show. We're very happy to have you playing along as always. Hey, if you want to send us an email, we would like you to do so because Brett and I live to answer questions. Send your email to honorq@livinginlv.com. Again, honorq@livinginlv.com. You know, if you want, you can send a voicemail and you don't even have to pick up your phone. What, Scott? That sounds impossible. I get that. Of course it sounds impossible, but you can actually do it. Here's how you do it. You go to our website, you click on a little tab on the side, which I don't see the graphic now, and you say, you know, leave a voicemail and it really happens. But wait a minute. You're probably, you know, checking this out on iTunes. That's funny. Good for you. Leave us a five-star review. You know, let people know you love us because we love you, and we really, really do. And on the YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Share us with people. And besides on the iTunes and the YouTube, we're occasionally on KSHP, but man, if we, only if Brett stops cussing, because holy crap, that's huge. Roku, 31,000 plus people. Stitcher, TuneIn, Chromecast, 31, Apple TV, 000. Google TV, Vegas Video Network, Facebook, and Twitter. I am your friend Scott Whitney. That is your good friend Brett Grant. Together, we are
the couple.
Criminally intent, and we are on the run because no one's going to catch us. Because we're that awesome. All right. Anyways, thanks everybody for playing along. We'll see you guys next week on. Oh, yeah, you're not going to be here next week, right?
Correct. I'm taking a week off, folks. Stop. In the name.
I don't know what I'm going to do next week.
I'll be out of town.
I'll figure something out.
Can I call in on Skype?
Can a brother?
I don't know if that's even possible.
It is possible.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have no idea where I'm going to be.
Really?
I mean, I know where I'm going to be, but I don't know at the time at 8 p.m. at night next Tuesday night where my activities are going to be if I'm done with what I'm doing.
All right. You're killing me, bro. You're killing me.
I don't know.
You're killing me, Smalls.
All right. We'll figure out something. I really don't know what I... Thanks for reminding me that. We'll be back later. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.